You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
2, 1. All right, now we're recording. So now, you know, don't say anything incriminating because we're on record now. But it doesn't matter because, you know, people love that fucking AI episode.
That's funny. But I mean, it's easier than doing a real podcast.
Is it?
It's easy. Oh, it's easier to write. I mean, the process is not streamlined yet, so it's annoying. But to write versus to speak extemporaneously, writing is fucking easy, man.
But isn't speaking extemporaneously is the easiest shit in the world.
No, it seems easy because they're just, it's flowing out of your mouth and we don't have a high obligation to entertain. Imagine being a podcast where you had to land jokes all the time. Holy shit. Like what I see some of these dudes out here doing, people don't get it. I'm going to cape up for some of the podcasters out there that some people find corny. It is not easy, man. It's not easy to land even a joke occasionally in this type of context. And some of these dudes are cornballs for sure. But if you even had like a fucking giggle at somebody, kind of impressive. You know, like Brendan Schaub.
Yeah.
Right. You're familiar with this guy?
Yeah.
He gets all the shit in the world. Everybody's always after him. And now his former assistant came out and is fucking shitting on him and loving the attention of getting interviews for, like, he's doing AMAs on the Fighter and the Kid Reddit. Right. So like they love him because he's shitting on the guy that they hate. And Brendan Schaub is not, people, because he purports to be a comedian and he's not good at it, people hate on him. But it's like, you know, listen to his podcast. He's a better broadcaster than half these fucking dudes out here.
And well, that's like the deal with us. I mean, like I feel no obligation to be funny, but because we're jovial and we know each other for a while, we can, the funny comes naturally and it's not forced. You know?
Yeah, some of the forced guys can land, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, like, but we can land without even trying.
You're giving us too much credit.
I'm
still in space. Listen to you fucking with your cope.
No, it was good. Listen, we're hitting the heights these days.
No, all right.
People are on the train, man. We have more listeners than we ever had.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting.
We're blowing up. We're ready for the big time. We're ready to make $20,000 a year.
Oh,
but we're ready to make $20,000 a year, but also completely alienate us from any corporate gigs. So,
yeah. So, have you enjoyed I haven't sent you the clips really, have I, of all the people getting grilled, on Capitol Hill right now for their former tweets?
Oh, no. Is that real? Oh, wait. So, yeah. Okay, so hang on. We have a docket because there's four things that I think we should address. One is this, what you talked about, because that's essentially what the podcast is about, Twitter. Two, the UFO psyop. Three, the nuking of Ohio. Potentially four, which is that we're seriously edging to nuclear war. And I love this. Chris Cuomo saying he was going to kill everybody and himself after being fired from CNN.
Jesus.
That's just Italian. That's just being Italian.
Also, it's a human emotion. I'm happy that he had one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's cool.
It's the most humanity I've seen from a corporate news broadcaster in my life, maybe.
100%. Okay, which one are we tackling?
Let's tackle the Twitter Capitol Hill thing, because I don't know. You need to educate me on that. I don't know a lot about
it. Okay, so there's a Biden appointee for the FCC that is she's like a classic NPR boomer, like it's classic woman with short hair, sounds very Upper West Side, glasses, who is good at this. Like she's a lifetime fucking appointee bureaucrat fucking scumbucket. You know what I mean? So she knows how to talk this, and they're shitting on her, right? Because they're like, could you explain this tweet where, you know, whatever it is, you said something incredibly partisan. You said like, you know, we should go to the Meadowlands and bury Trump. You know what I mean? Like shoot him in the head twice and bury him. And like, and she's responding to how you're supposed to respond, which is, I do not think that it precludes me from serving my people of the United States in the capacity of the FCC, whatever. She's doing the little dance, but
we are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
It is fascinating between her and Yoel, whatever his name is, who looks like, for a dude who was once so high on his power and what I would call like plainly like evil control over other people's fate, he looks like such a fucking grub. He looks like such a worm of a bitch of a man.
Yeah.
He's getting grilled on, up there and he's doing the dance in a way whereas the other woman, what the fuck is her name? Like Gigi or something. She is career, hard nose, rise to the top of bureaucracies, both corporate and bureaucratic, right? Like governmental. And the other fellow is just a fucking idiot tech fucking loser that got put in a position, and watching him squirm. Now, I've always maintained that you need protections for your off work site speech.
Yeah.
I still think that. However, the people that were against that, the people who thought that you should condemn everybody for everything that they've ever said, are currently getting spit roasted on Capitol Hill. And I fucking love it. Like watching them say, watching people be interviewed about their past tweets and saying, so you called Trump and everybody who serves under him, your word, sir, a literal Nazi. You don't believe that that makes you a partisan? And it's for them to go take a drink of water. No, sir. I regret my phrasing, but I do not believe that that influenced. And then they go, so that didn't influence your decision to to hide the Hunter Biden story, to ban the New York Post from their ability to report on that story. You don't think that that influenced it? And he takes another sip of water. No, sir, I do not. And then they go, what about your discussions with the FBI the night before the Biden laptop story broke, wherein they told you don't leak that fucking thing or don't allow that thing on your platform? Do you think that influenced you? I don't know if I'm allowed to answer that in the capacity that you're seeking, sir. There's certain restrictions on sir, do you have clearance? Do you have top secret clearance? No, sir, I do not. Well, then, Mr. Yoel, is there a reason that you can't tell me what you're talking about? And it's just this over and over again. And watching this dude's eyes get glassy with the possible tears of looking like I don't say this about people. I think there needs to be a road to redemption for everybody. But this dude's road needs to be long, in my view, because this is a person who thought that they knew better than everybody on the planet. And I think that that makes you evil. Like the dictionary definition of evil that I don't even pull out very often, believing that you can impose your will on people, your subordinates, your inferiors. I think it makes you scum. And that's what I think this fellow was. I hope he crawls his way out of it. But I think it makes them scum.
I mean, imagine the type of person that prides themselves on being able to climb up through bureaucracies.
Oh, I mean,
like that's a lower than dirt person.
I've said this before. Psychopaths win at systems. That's it, right? Yeah. Like that's just the fact. Is you see somebody who they can assess the game, see all the angles, and then manipulate human beings. It's like, that's not good. It's not a good person. Like, this is not who I want to serve under, you know?
I mean, it's not, yeah, that's, it's, why are they, what is the purpose of these hearings? Why are they auditing people's tweets on Capitol Hill?
So there's two things happening. There's the Biden appointee for the FCC, and she's just getting called to the carpet for, ma'am, Ted Cruz is being a little dishonest. He's saying, so it appears that you've given money to political donations to all the people who are responsible for your appointment. You don't think that that's odd, miss? And she says, it's not very much money, and it's over the course of my life, so no. And she's not wrong. She's like, she gave these politicians $1,000. I don't think they see her as a major donor, you know? So it's like, whatever. She's given $30,000 over the course of her life. Ted Cruz is just being like a bit of a weasel. But the matters that are important are, hey, so you're going to be responsible. You're the censor of the censors. That's you, right? You're the one that gets to see what grandma and grandpa, you're the one that gets to decide what grandma and grandpa see, what grandma and grandpa have access to, because they're the only ones that are watching fucking anything that the FCC has dominion over. So are you saying that your obvious partisan leanings will have no play on how you conduct your job? So that's what they're asking her, and they're basing it on her old tweets.
Whatever
tacky old bullshit, like, yeah, you know, calling Trump a Nazi or whatever the fuck,
right?
And then separate from that, you've got the actual Twitter. It's a farce, and I'm sure it amounts to nothing, but they're doing the actual Twitter files type of hey, we're looking into this. Is it true that you buried the Hunter Biden laptop story? And if so, why? And what seems, I mean, I don't think it seems, everybody's copying to it, is that multiple law enforcement agencies, intelligence agencies, came to Twitter and said, "This one doesn't look good. Don't run it. It might violate your terms of service." And the thing that is lost on the idiot anti-Trump libs on Twitter is that's not the government's job. It's not the FBI's job to go to Twitter and say, we're really concerned about your terms of service. We don't want you to get in trouble. You know, so you could, it's important that you address this terms of service issue that we're experiencing here. That's not their job. And the fact that they would even reach out on those terms is really suspect.
Yeah.
And for people to just brush it away and go like, you know, they were doing what's best for us. He's so fucking dumb.
It's amazing to me how the Twitter file stuff isn't like, you know, I mean, I understand that there's a sliding scale of care. I understand that there's certain things, like if you are, you know, if you're Mexican, you care about the plight of the Mexicans. You know what I mean? And it's and like, I'm not saying it in a sense of like, oh, you know, like if Mexican guy got mad at me, right? Because I didn't care about the Mexicans as much as he did. I could be like, well, what about the Haitians, bro? You don't give a fuck about them. You spend all your day caring about the Mexicans. So like, I get the sliding scale of care. I get that the people that you and I are, why we'd care about something like the Twitter files. That being said, it's astounding to me that government and intelligence agencies having a back channel into all the major social media networks to edit and curate what you can see is not more of a fucking mind-blowing thing to people.
Yeah.
Like it, and the fact that it's not being reported on in a major way, it's not being treated as a big story as what, like when, what's his name? When Edward Snowden blew the whistle, that was a big story, you know, even though it was potentially damaging to powers, right? Like that led the news cycle, right? This doesn't. And it feels about as important as the Edward Snowden thing, that there are back channels from the government, from political parties, from intel, from the CIA, the FBI, the DOD, they all have channels into the information that you can see to guide the Overton window. They obviously censored the fucking the Hunter Biden stuff. They've censored COVID stuff that has come out as true. So, you know, if you don't care, I mean, like the way in which media guides how we react to the real world is kind of, it's really, really mind bending. It's like, I can't even fully comprehend it. I'm not smart enough to comprehend it because maybe that's a good segue into the Ohio shit, because I'll tell you what, I checked MSNBC, I checked CNN, I checked Fox News. Fox News mentions it more because it is damaging to Biden and Buttigieg, right? Yeah, CNN, you have to dig to find any reporting on what's going on in Ohio. You really have to sift through George Santos stuff. You have to sift through. Let's check it right now. Let's see. Because sometimes when people on, you know, social media make a big, because it is on Twitter. It is very much on Twitter.
I would love for you to also find a photo of the Michigan shooter.
Next. Okay. I see one dead and three injured at shooting in El Paso. Let's see. Train. I'm going to just, okay. Trending. Ohio train derailment, but it's trending underneath George Santos. Okay. So it is mentioned more on the CNN website now at 7:30 PM than it was earlier today at 3 PM. So they are picking up on it, but it's now, we're over 10 days into this, I think. And it seems pretty bad.
pretty bad,
Chernobyl level bad. And I think it's just a good rule of thumb at this point that if the government tells you that the air is safe, you just got to presume the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I heard something. How many people have died from some form of cancer from being exposed to being close to the ground zero on 9/11? I think it's like at this point, it's hundreds of people.
It's hundreds of people. It's tough to get the actual number, though. It might be three times that much, or it might be like,
yeah. I mean, I guess it's difficult to draw a straight line, right?
Very, very, very difficult. Because unless they're finding like particulates in your fucking, right, like in the cancer cells, it's hard. Yeah.
They found Mohammed Atta's passport in someone's lungs.
Exactly right.
Get out of Ohio. Get out of Ohio and the surrounding area right now. Do what you got to do. Go stay with your brother who lives in Florida. Get the fuck out of Ohio, because if you're breathing this shit in, one would presume you're going to die of cancer soon. Not soon, maybe 10 years from now. You're going to, but like, get out.
So check this out.
Yeah.
So you're right. This is the right is picking up on this, not the left, which is crazy. Tulsi Gabbard, who is now being considered de facto right, despite that it's not really her politics, but whatever. The Biden administration's response, in quotations, to the Ohio chemical disaster is further evidence they simply do not care about the American people. Also further evidence of our crumbling, improperly maintained infrastructure, despite hundreds of billions of dollars supposedly spent on it. That last matter is of importance, because my understanding is that this one actually comes down to corporate greed, is that these rail companies might be to blame for this. But here's the guy who is the host of a radio program called Armed America.
our companion podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Our direct competitors.
Yeah.
The same liars that destroyed the economy, put you in face diapers, mandated you inject vaccines, shut down your businesses, and ruined your kids have nothing to say about the Palestine, Ohio train derailment. Have you figured this out yet? Okay, so there's something to be said about that, right? Because as you said, there's a sliding scale of care about things, and we all care about things that are, for whatever reason, more germane to us or more on our face or whatever. And this is like when people care a great deal about trans youth, right? And you go, well, that sounds right. You know what I mean? Like that's a highly marginalized group.
Yeah.
Right. But then you don't see any evidence that those same people care about like less fashionable, and no disrespect to trans people. I'm suggesting how the world sees this issue, not how I do. Less fashionable issues that affect youth every day in this ongoing way that nobody does anything about. Do you know what I mean? And it's like the most, the kind of the Trump card that a lot of people play is Chicago. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because whenever you purport to care about gun violence and you don't say Chicago, or whenever you purport to care about people of color and you don't, and you just push Chicago off of the docket, you know what I mean? It does make you look a little, it makes you look like a little less credible. Right.
Yeah.
Because you have to address the difficult thing if you want to be taken seriously. Hold on. I'm looking at this is a left and right, I think, side by side tweet. How many people in Ohio are going to be sick and possibly die because of Biden and his administration? Why aren't people screaming for his registration? And then another person, the Ohio chemical disaster is just another example of how bad Republicans are at governing. They're good at campaigning because they lie with almost no consequences. Which one is it, Eric? Or is it possible that there's a singularity of shittedness?
Yes.
Right? Is that possible that there are only two parties? There's the constituents being underrepresented, and then there's kleptocrats.
Yeah,
those are the only two parties that I know of.
Listen, so people hate it, but like, yo, we got to pull the John Joseph and say, two wings of the same bird, man.
Wings of the same vulture. 100%. It is, but
like, how can you even get mad at that at this point? Like, yo, I know people live moment to moment, but we've had 2 years of a majority Democrat Congress. Those are your heroes? They're not doing anything to fix anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's this Biden in office didn't prevent what happened here. There's blame to go around. And the reason they're not talking about it is because, unlike COVID, it is very obvious whose fault this is. And it's the people that have deregulated for the sake of money. And it's the lobbyists that have the interest in the politicians who serve them. That is why this is happening. And that's why the corporate media is not reporting on it. Do you get it now? Do you get how everything's all fucking connected and it goes to money? And it doesn't matter if you're Joe fucking Biden or Donald fucking Trump. Do you get it? Do you get how the system works to kill you, and that they would cut costs and watch you die if it lined their pockets? Do you understand? it's never been more obvious. And yet people still play this fucking partisan hack game. It drives me crazy. Like,
well, Sandy Kovacs. Oh. On Twitter says it's Donald Trump's fault.
Yo, you're not. You're just. I mean, yes, sure. It doesn't matter. Like, you're not seeing the far. You're not seeing the fucking picture, man. You can blame an individual, whether it's Trump or Biden or whoever. It's not. It's the fucking way the shit works. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill you. They don't care about your health.
I don't think they're trying to kill you. I just think they don't care. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't. I mean, ultimately, but they will. But in a sense, they will risk your life if it means more money for them. And if they poison the water and they poison the skies, doesn't matter. They don't fucking live in shit stink Ohio.
You know, I just looked up somebody's saying, like, they're showing the estuaries or whatever, the tributaries, and how this is going to affect water quality all the way down to the Mississippi Delta, right? And that might be true. I don't know much about that, but they're saying there's super toxins, carcinogens, and super toxins. I just went to look up super toxins. That's not a thing. What? Why are people so, like, help me help you, man. Help me understand you. So it's like, don't say gibberish words. Well, unless you're like me and you just say gibberish.
That's actually a really great point, because I had this thought. Yo, it is possible that, and you know, I listen, my what I believe deep down is everything I've already said, but I don't know shit about shit. Maybe it's not that dangerous. Maybe it killed the fish because they're weak and you'll be fine. I don't know. But the government doesn't have a great track record.
No. Not the people I would trust with this.
No. So I don't know shit about shit, you know? Like, but it would conform with my worldview. All, like, everything I just said about the media, about the politicians, about the blame, about the way people react to it. It's, you know, but I don't know. Maybe we're all overreacting, and this is like,
this might be great.
This might be. You know why there are too many fucking fish?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna add.
It's like fluoride in the water. Your teeth are gonna look great. I don't fucking know. What do I know? I'm a fucking dumbass. Listen, you should have left Ohio before the fucking toxic cloud.
Yeah, let's not Monday morning quarterback. I agree with you. It's insane to be in Ohio.
Insane.
But it's too late for that.
Well, now's a good time to bounce. What about so I listen, have you been following this UFO shit?
I refuse to acknowledge it because it's fake.
It is. It's like very obviously fake, right?
You know, it's why can't we get a straight answer? Is this like, just say it's fucking aliens or it's not fucking aliens? Which one is it?
That's you know what NASA stands for? Never a straight answer.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what the flat earthers say.
I just wanted to talk about something real quick. Just because it's on the top of my mind and I'll forget otherwise. You know who Neil Gaiman is?
The name sounds familiar. Is he like a weird screenwriter that you worship?
He wrote a comic in the 1990s that was The Sandman, which got turned into a show.
Sure.
Not that long ago. He also has written some prose that I forget what, something gods, whatever. He's famous. Also, Coraline was his.
Okay. I thought that was Tim Burton.
No, so it is. I want to say that it's Neil Gaiman and the guy who directed Nightmare Before Christmas, who everybody thinks Tim Burton did, but he didn't, I think. Whatever. Here's the point. The point is Neil Gaiman tweeted a thing that I don't want to say I find offensive. I just don't know how to contextualize this, and maybe you could help me. There's a young woman, I think, from what I'm picking up, a trans woman, maybe girl, she looks young, Brianna Gay, right? Who I think died in the UK. Now, everybody, I don't know the details of this. It seems that perhaps she was murdered. I don't know. Look this person up, Brianna Gay, spelled Ghey. Anyway, I don't know any of the details, but somebody that was upset by her passing wrote Neil Gaiman and said, "Hey, I could really use some words of comfort from you." And he was polite and respectful, or perhaps megalomaniacal, I don't know, and said, "Here's something I wrote 32 years ago about trans people that, you know, blah, blah, blah." Why would you reach out to a total fucking stranger and say, "I need words of comfort"? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, the most upsetting thing about that is that Neil Gaiman didn't say, "I'm sorry, brother, that's not my job. And I'm sorry, that's also like, I wouldn't even know how to say something to you because we don't know each other. It would be meaningless, you know?" I don't know. Again, I don't know anything about Brianna Gay. It's always sad when a young person loses their lives, and I can understand being upset about that. I wouldn't reach out to fucking Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
and so, you know what I mean? I wouldn't, like, there's people I respect and I have a lot of admiration for. You know, I love Gene Hackman. I'm not emailing Gene Hackman and being like, "Gene, right now I'm in a low fucking place."
You should.
I don't understand the world. It's one of those things that you want to be sensitive about, because it's like we're talking about the death of a kid. Upsetting. People find this world harsh and confusing. Get it. Just don't understand reaching out to anybody except your close friends or your family. You know what I mean? Am I crazy?
No, that's strange. It would be, I don't understand the sort of, I don't get it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess famous people respond to, you know, fan mail. I mean, I don't think that's that abnormal, but I think the thinking to reach out to Neil Gaiman, I think, is kind of strange. But it was strange to me is when I searched Brianna Gay, I got her Wikipedia page, and it's like, does everybody who gets killed get a Wikipedia page?
No, but she was killed. Like, this is like a public thing. I don't really understand.
Was she a public person?
No. But I think her death has been, for lack of a better word, politicized. Let's read about it real quick. This is not good. No.
I mean,
this is a dead 16-year-old.
It's horrible. It's mortifying. I'm just nothing. I would presume on a daily basis, tragically. Listen, this is going to make me sound like an asshole. I'm just curious as to that she has a Wikipedia page.
Well, her murder does. Does she, or it's just her killing?
Okay, well, yeah, the Wikipedia page is killing of Brianna Gay.
Okay, so this is interesting.
I mean, she had 63,000 followers on TikTok. Can we call her a public facing person?
I would, yeah. It's, you know, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's. horrifying. It's tragic. Yeah. I mean, it's so I guess, yeah, I guess this, she was in a way a public person, and yeah, there has been some politicization of her tragic passing. So I guess that warrants a Wikipedia. Drones on 13th February.
Yeah, there's a drone flying, no flies. Can we talk about how,
wow,
how some things don't translate? Various musicians tweeted their sorrow, disgust, and support, including, by the way, this is not appropriate for Wikipedia in my view, but including Youngblood, Big Joni, and Reverend and the Makers. Three acts that, to our UK listeners, perhaps this is all very familiar to you. I've never heard that these words in my life. I don't know what this is.
I like the name Big Joni.
Big Joni is a punk band formed in 2013. You'd think that I would know about them. That's kind of my beat.
Reverend and the Makers formed in 2005. I've never heard of any of these folks in my life.
But continued success. God bless.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's get off of dead children, because that's, this stuff upsets me.
Yeah. No, it's really upsetting. What about what else did we say we were going to talk about? We didn't talk about UFOs really, but I guess it's just like,
listen, it's a scam. It's a scam. Snowden came out, said it's a scam. I believe Snowden.
I have no reason to not believe Snowden, especially when there's like, really a lot of other things. I mean, if it's aliens, just go find out if it's aliens and tell and let me know if it's aliens, but stop this.
Yeah,
like,
precisely.
Oh, maybe. Yo,
everybody on most things. Here's what you could say about Eric and Patrick.
Yeah.
They're stupid and they don't have time. Just let them know. You know what I mean? Just hit me and let me know.
Yeah, I just hate the whole like I remember when Trump was president, it always annoyed the shit out of me when people were like, so what's they would ask him like a question about something. They're just like, so you're going to the UK tomorrow? And he'd be like, we'll see about that. We'll see. It's like it's so annoying. Like, just say what the fuck is happening.
Yes.
How about nuclear war? What do you think?
I don't think very likely, but no, you know, I guess I can't avoid it if I'm not, if it happens, it happens. I feel bad for the kids, really.
Yeah.
Because I'd say after you hit a certain age, you go, well, it's been, I don't know what I expected. Yeah. You know, like certainly my dad's 80. He has got to be thinking, I can't say I ever anticipated going this long. You know what I mean? Like, and I think even as a younger guy, because I'm not 80, I think it's still possible to go, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like I was promised anything more than I got. You know what I mean? So doing okay, I guess. So if the bomb drops today, I got a stepson. I'd be obviously very sad for him that he didn't get the opportunity to reach I guess whatever happens, place that I'm at. Yeah. You know?
Did you see that? Did you see AI dating?
Oh, fuck. That, are the AIs dating each other?
Well, no, ChatGPT can apparently woo the affection of single women on these dating platforms. Is that because everyone in their heart wants an NPC?
Yes, I was just going to say it's 100%. It's because women, if left to their own devices, would always choose a bot over a man. Always.
Yeah, I mean, they eventually do, right? I mean, it's sort of like when you're in your 20s. You know, dating the bad boy who's in the crust bands seems like a good time, an exciting time. And then by the time you hit 27 or 28, 29 and they start writing songs about you because you were mean to them, it's like, why didn't I just date a finance guy? Fuck.
Yes. Oh, my God. Can you think about how many women have gone through this?
Yeah. Oh, I had a friend that was like, she was like, they in a long relationship, they broke up and she said, I don't know what comes next, but I know I'm not dating a guy who writes songs.
Yeah, fair.
She's like, I don't need songs out there written about me anymore.
Absolutely fair. Also, there's something to say about the fact that, like, what was ever exciting about that? About, like, dating a musician or a skateboarder? Where, like, when you look back on it, can anybody assess what the status was? You know what I mean? Like, it's literal Beanie Babies. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things you go back and you're like, where was the value assigned? Like, where did it come from? Right? Nobody could tell you. I dated a skateboarder and all I got was chlamydia. You know what I mean? get that shirt.
Yo, I'm so glad that the skater boy shit is, like, finally gone out of vogue.
It hasn't. You're just old. You're just at the age where a woman wouldn't, like, there's no crossover between you and a woman that might go, like, you never have to say again in your life, I got to look out for these skater boys. You know what I mean? Like, you never have to think that, because there's no woman that you would be with that would be that young and dumb, right? Mm.
No, but there were people in my age range that were like, ooh, he skateboards and he's skinny.
No, I know. But now, I'm saying now you've aged out. Like, that wouldn't be
people. I was 31.
That wouldn't be people. That happens that quick.
Is it the difference between 31 and 32?
That's right.
You know, well, thank God.
There's a woman.
Fucking stupid. I fucking hate skateboards.
So fucking stupid. Get on a bike.
Get on a fucking walk.
So fucking stupid. You know what's not stupid is, like, dropping into a fucking pool and doing some cool shit. You know what is stupid? A kickflip.
Dumb.
It's fucking stupid. It's just fucking stupid. It's the least impressive thing I could think of to look at. Look, everybody, I can't do one. Therefore, it's impressive to me. However, it looks stupid. It doesn't look cool at all. It doesn't look like there's shit that's just definably cool. I think the same thing. I think BMX is cool as fuck. I don't think flatland fucking freestyle BMX looks cool at all. I've got friends and acquaintances who do it so well that I'm kind of impressed. I go, wow, that's cool. But it looks like you're dancing with the fucking bike. You know what I mean? Like, just jump off a cliff.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Do a bunny hop off of a very high thing.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah. What else we got? How about Chris Cuomo threatening to kill himself? I think it's cool.
Tell me about it.
He said, like, when he was, so apparently he was in such a low place when, so he got fired from CNN because of his connection to his brother, who was the governor of New York and then ousted for being Italian, for the high crime of being an Italian who likes to kiss people on the cheek when they didn't want that because he smells weird.
Bring him back.
So he got kicked. And he said he wanted to kill himself and everyone around him. I think that is on par with being an Italian man. Do you know how many times a day I'm inconvenienced and I think I'm going to fucking kill myself? It's just in the blood. I'm not actually going to do it. Yet.
So what am I imbued with? What's my my legacy, right? Oh, by the way, I just listened to a podcast of a gentleman. So I've listened to the Thomas Sowell audio. I did the audio book. I think I told you about it. It was interesting.
He's the black conservative who wants people to pick up their pants.
it's not far off. Anyway, it conquests, peoples and conquest, whatever it is. It's about the idea that there's an upside to colonization, right? And I just listened to a podcast interview with a fellow who wrote a piece about that 5 years ago and got murdered, right? And it's so funny when guys, I'm sure I do this about topics that I care about. You sound cool. You sound collected. Everything you're saying makes sense. The other person doesn't have to agree with you, but they can't say that you're arguing in bad faith or you're saying something deflecting or not unserious. And then you kind of just have a moment where the mask slips a little bit and you like reveal too much. You know what I mean? where you'll be like, well, look, the fact is that the medical advances that there was superior technology on the European side, and the medical advances that they brought to places such as Africa have increased the quality of life and the length of life for generations. And people are going, well, that is true. And then you're like, also, you can't say that Mussolini's efforts there were colonization. That was a separate thing that should be put in a separate category. After all, didn't he have some points? And you're like, oh no. I just agreed with the man who turned out to be insane. You know what I mean? Like, oh no.
Yeah.
I didn't know Glenn Greenwald was vegan. And I don't follow this guy very closely. Anyway, but the masks just slips a little bit, and it's unfortunate that people can't kind of compartmentalize their feelings. Like what was clear was I wanted to listen to a podcast from a guy who has a differing view of the prevailing idea of history, right? Like that colonization sure. can have an upside. Would be interested to hear that perspective. I'm not as interested in listening to an obviously pro-colonization man.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, like and not because I think that that's even haram or outside of what we can talk about, just because it makes you seem agenda driven instead of inquiry driven. Right. And so, but it was still interesting. Because I was just about to read King Leopold's Ghost, and then this guy poisoned it when he's like, I'm writing a massive rebuttal to the whole thing. It's a lie, and it's like that's one of those kind of pop history like go to books. You know, like I was excited, but. This guy seems to like colonization so much that he makes cutouts for things that are not technically colonization, right? Like in his view,
yeah.
In his view, the Chinese are not currently colonizing, but the Koreans are, right? So the Chinese, in his words, they go to a place and they economically exploit it and they exert power over local power through economic means. Like, hey, we're going to pull out unless your laws are more favorable to us. You're going to be out hundreds of jobs and thousands of whatever. And meanwhile, so he says that's not colonization. And technically, perhaps he's right. He's more of an expert than I am. But he says that Korea practices proper colonization because they go to a place, they create walled free states with the cooperation of the government and then have their own police and government within those free states. That is a difference.
Yeah.
Right. But it just seems like he like really doesn't want to cop to certain things being colonization because then he would have to colonization would look a little worse or he would feel a little different about it.
It reminds me of I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I took a class on genocide and what is actually considered genocide, like the definition of genocide, like the extermination of Native Americans would actually not technically under the definition of genocide qualify as genocide because for a number of reasons, but that doesn't feel like. If you ask anyone on the streets, they would say, yeah, that was a genocide. But because it's not committed by one regime, like it was committed over a century by several different heads of state. Therefore, it's not a focused killing of, you know, one sort of totalitarian versus another or one culture versus another. that distinction feels meaningless to a lot of people because lots of people died over time.
I was going to say a lot of dead Indians there. That's
But the thing with colonization is, like, I think what people fail to understand, and look, the broader point, the broader thing that sort of annoys me is like this notion that like it's immoral or somehow it would be a moral flaw to hear a perspective from the side of pro colonization. You know what I mean? Like, yo, I just want to know what that position is because it helps to inform my own. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what the counter of my own thing is, you know? Like, I just want to know. I just want to know about that. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Like, but the thing with colonization that I think what people don't understand is at the time, like the time of European colonization throughout the world, whether it was Africa, South America, or North America, et cetera, you know, they thought they were doing a virtuous thing. That was the morality of the time.
Well, okay. I find that to be the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
I've said it on this podcast because it just blew my fucking mind out the back of my head when the idea that the American Indian at the time that they were slaughtered, that would have the remarkable part of it would have been the technology and the color of the people's skin, not the fact that they were being murdered the way that they were, because that was of its time, right? Like, so it was so part of the milieu that wouldn't be the aspect that you questioned. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be the immiseration of like, you know, we're being pushed off of land and killed. The remarkable part would be, where the fuck did these weird looking people with this new technology come from? But the actual murder thing would not be outside of if not their experience, at least their understanding of the world and their near history. Right. So, because the history of the Americas, insofar as we understand it, because there's nobody wrote anything down, right? But insofar as we understand it through archaeology and through spoken history, these were groups that they didn't colonize each other, for lack of a better word, or we couldn't use that word necessarily. But they did kill each other and expunge each other from the land with regularity. You know what I mean? And that's kind of just the history of the world, right? So, yeah, it's we can look at these things and say they're so evil, and they by our standards they are. And but then how do you slide a thing backwards? Like, how can you and I look at and not suffer from presentism and slide a thing backwards and say, is evil always evil, or is it impossible to hold a caveman to the same standards as a spaceman?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I don't know. It feels evil. You know what I mean? Killing a bunch of native people feels evil to me. Feels like it would have felt evil at the time, but
yeah,
I also wasn't there.
I mean, I just have a purely ignorant question. This is not, please don't interpret this as colonized.
No, listen, we're here for the dumb shit.
Don't interpret this as colonizer apologism. But did they, like, when the Native Americans died because they got blankets with smallpox on them, did the Europeans know how the fuck smallpox worked?
Oh, so there's a huge debate about this.
Yeah.
So the idea is that the idea is that early Americans engaged in germ warfare, but the counter argument is that they did not have a concrete understanding of those ideas. And I don't know jury's out so far as I know, but I do not know what anybody's come to on that.
Yeah.
It's a sensitive subject. We have a surprising, I was surprised to hear, because I'm from the Northeast of the United States. our relationship with American Indians, Native peoples, indigenous, whatever language we care to use in 2023, it's not strong. And Eric will tell you the same thing. It is not like the American Southwest, where in some respects it would be difficult to avoid Native peoples, or at least their influence. But Eric, did you ever feel in Queens, New York, particularly tied to the Native experience?
No. I've never. I mean, the Queens Native is different than the Native American experience.
It was, well, yes. But is it possible that you, like, do you think that you went at least through your high school years without ever having met an American Indian?
Oh, yeah. I can remember we in elementary school, we had a Native American come speak to us. And I think that was probably the first time I had met one. But people of Native descent, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little more difficult to parse. But I certainly did not interact with actual indigenous people until I traveled. And then, you know, in the American Southwest, like I say, you can arrive in places and towns where, like, that's just what's going, you know what I mean? That's just who's there. But anyway, it's a sensitive subject. We have indigenous listeners. So I know this is a sensitive subject for some of them because they've written me, but it's not something that you and I can ever, like, we'd have to go to school for this shit. Cause it's nothing that we are made familiar with at a young age.
Yeah, no, we're too dumb to talk about this, and we're not being funny. This is a lame conversation.
No. Let's get back to funny. Dead children.
This episode's. So wait. So you're going on tour soon, which means episodes might be a little slower than normal. I think for Patreon content, while you're in the van, you should just write fucking chat. We should hand our Patreon over to our bots, to our bot counterparts
for the next month. We should. That's okay. Let's do that. That's fine. I can write those all day.
Yeah, and I think those Twitch streams. I don't know. Should those be Patreon content, or I can like put them up as episodes, because only like 100 people in total watch them when we do them, and then they disappear.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think that if we are unable to make to get together for an episode, then I think that you should use that content. And if we're able to, then push that to Patreon.
Okay.
Let's just make sure people get something every week.
Yeah. That's currently the plan. But so what? So we should round out this episode now. What's we need? What, I got an old newspaper clipping that says Governor Reagan says some of my best friends are homosexuals. Probably, yeah. True. I don't know.
It's kind of true.
California. He must have. There must have been.
So years. and he was in show business.
Right.
But it was his, if I recall correctly. So he's like, he gets killed for his handling of the AIDS crisis, which is probably he did botch that.
Big time.
It was a true fact that his wife was one of those things that you're not allowed to say anymore. Like, you know, I think you're only allowed to say if you're gay.
I've heard she's the throat goat.
She was the throat goat, but she was also the F hag. You know what I mean? Like she had a great number of gay friends, is my understanding.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's wrap up the episode. We'll go to overtime. We'll try to be funny there.
Yeah. We might have to do overtime tomorrow.
Oh, what you got? You gotta go hang out with your boy Justin Roiland again?
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should tell that story. So Justin Roiland at at a diner in Burbank last night.
Can we talk about how the imaginary world of Twitter, where everybody says, if I saw that guy, I'd beat him up or whatever. It doesn't exist. I know this because you can just find, what's his name? Gavin McGinnis. You can just find Gavin McGinnis like in New York City on any given day. You can just bump into him.
Yeah.
And if you think that dude is leaving the house, if everybody everywhere is confronting him, you're wrong. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen with any great regularity. He does get confronted, but not with any great regularity, and not with any like, "Ooh, this dude is the guy is really proving a point or scaring me."
Yo, did you know that the Ohio thing that was done on purpose?
Yeah, they had to blow it up because they were scared.
Holy fuck!
Eric, find a photo of the shooter of Michigan.
Michigan, yeah. You gotta clue me in on this. What is the Michigan?
I want to say three students at the University of Michigan were murdered. You could tell I'm getting old because I have these like emotional pangs for young people when I see like a photo of a young person who lost their life too young. It's sad, really sad. So, are these things losing their impact? Yes, probably. Also, is there less inclination to cover certain things if they don't fit a narrative? Yes.
Oh, I see.
You see?
Yeah.
How long does this one stay in the news?
I think a really funny thing is that every time you look up a shooter, someone posts a picture of Sam Hyde.
Oh, it's a great gimmick. It's a great gimmick.
Because he looks like Sam Hyde really looks like every fucking deranged white guy that shoots people. But
he's been visited by the FBI twice.
That's really funny. Yeah. I mean, look, these conversations are dicey, but I mean, it's you know, the fucking, what do you call it? Tyree Nichols, is that his name? All the officers were black, and I mean they really tried to push a race thing, you know.
They tried to make that pop. I mean, because I can't watch the footage, but everybody
it's awful. And it's awful.
If the kid was asking for his mom, it makes me want to cry.
Oh,
you know what I mean? That's like,
yeah.
I can't fuck with that. That's like and I again, you're not allowed to say that this has nothing to do with race and it has everything to do with power, but it might have something to do with race in the respect that many black officers have a low view of the populations that they police.
Mm.
If you've been in the company of black officers, you will hear them say things that are a little galling, right? And don't fit with the narrative. You need to confront a thing that police officers are in some respects service workers, and service workers hate their customers. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Now we can say that there's a million other things at work here, and yeah, that's true. But at the end of the day, cops hate the people they police. That's what it is. And if you put a white officer in a fucking cracker ass, fucking white trash, fucking meth region, I promise you, they're going to have very negative view of poor whites, a really fucking vicious view of poor whites. You put black officers in charge of poor black people, you're going to find that they have the same sort of view.
Yeah, I don't know enough about this. I really, like, honestly, when it comes to like policing and shit, I don't know. I just don't know enough to really properly comment on any of it. The whole situation is just fucking sad. I mean, anybody that dies at the hands of the state is like, there's fewer things that fucking like, you know, disgust me more than that, because it's just, yeah, it's just, it's, I mean, more than anything, it's like frightening, you know, like it's that, mm-hmm. you know, and the, you know, then it goes into like wrongful conviction and shit like that. The fact that like a simple misunderstanding and the state can just fucking eat you alive is mortifying. The whole shit is fucking mortifying. God damn it. We said we were going to be fucking funny. How do we be funny? I don't know how to be
this
funny.
This is a gas. It's a laugh. Everybody's loving it. Mm. Everybody's chuckling their dicks off. Meanwhile, I'm scrolling through Revolver magazine's 11 most unforgettable nu metal album covers of all time.
God. Wait, is that the name of it? Yo, I cannot stand. I got triggered today. You want to hear about this?
I'd love to.
I got actually triggered by an article that was over 10 years old, which is very stupid of me. But I can't stand critics, man. I can't stand
them. So dirt.
Who's the guy who, what is his fucking name? He wrote, did he write or direct Top Gun, True Romance, Beverly Hills Cop 2?
I thought True Romance was,
it was written by Quentin, right?
Yeah. It was written by Quentin Tarantino, but it was directed by Tony Scott.
Tony Scott, thank you. This person, this film critic, when Tony Scott passed away in, I guess, 2012? August 19th, 2012. A film critic came out to write a piece about how, the larger idea of the piece was, we shouldn't celebrate bad filmmakers just because they die, which it's like, okay, can understand how the death of somebody, you look back on their work maybe more kindly because they had passed, and maybe I understand that. I'll say that Top Gun, True Romance, Man on Fire, Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, like.
No, but that's the second take. That's the remake. That's trash.
Remake's no good.
Remake's not remarkable at all. Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 2, I enjoy, but it's obviously not the first one.
Enemy of the State.
Days of Thunder is a fucking good movie. Are you familiar with Days of Thunder?
No, I've never seen it.
It's a Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman NASCAR movie.
Oh.
And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So this guy has a strong resume, which is not the point necessarily. The point that this critic took an opportunity to just shit on him and pretend. First of all, she was pretending that Top Gun and True Romance are not good movies. They are. Whether you like them or not, they're good movies. Like, they are strong films. So you're already being a weird, contrarian, disingenuous.
I mean, True Romance would put him above most directors that have ever done anything. Like, and I don't mean that it's a brilliant film, but it's, if you think it's not a good film, there's something wrong with your stupid brain.
Yeah. Wow, the budget for True Romance was 12.5. The box office was 12.6. I mean, I'm sure they made their money back, but that's not a good box office. Especially for 93. People were loved going to the movies back then. But point is, yo, I think critics are scum, man. This person never fucking contributed anything of worth. I'm not saying you can't have an opinion. You can think Tony Scott sucks a cock. You can think these movies suck. But like,
yep.
First of all, taking a shit on a guy after he dies is just low. But also, like, it makes me mad when critics shit on creatives and have the power to sort of harm their ability to get work or to do the thing that they do because they didn't like what they did. That you're a termite, you know? You're an actual, you contribute nothing and you're harming someone else.
Yes.
That's fucked up. You're a fucking piece of shit.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, listen, don't get me started. A lot of critics are just kind of like angry that they feel that they're not getting an opportunity, that they haven't gotten the opportunity to do their great work and they're helping other people. Yeah, I know.
Yo, know thyself. You want to be a thing, but you might not be good at the thing, and that's okay. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
And I get that, you know, I don't know. Is it just the reality of the profession, of the job of a critic? You know, like, are you supposed to have spicy takes? Are you supposed to sit on shit on things? You know,
Like, yeah, I mean, it's the only way to gain any notice. Certainly, if you say the thing that's obvious, nobody's going to come to your.
I mean, you know, it works in the other direction in the sense that if you're out here, you know, saying Toy Story 4 is a fucking like cinematic achievement, it's like, all right, you sound like a fucking hack. But like,
I've gotten yelled at for saying Spider-Man 2 is peak cinema.
I love Spider-Man 2. You get no fucking, no argument from me. I don't know. Do you go remove nostalgia from your brain? Do you go Spider-Man 2 or do you go, the one with, was it Homecoming? The one with,
No, it's Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 2 has like proper, like pathos. It does.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but like
with Michael Keaton as the vulture, that was that was good.
Yo, that was good. So what that did was that humanized villains, and it was worthwhile. Underrated movie in some ways, but Spider-Man 2 had some directorial flourishes that are purely Raimi. People point to the scene where Dr. Octopus is essentially created, right? Like where he's bonded to the arms or whatever, and he kills all those people, right? And it's like very horror-ish, and it's very Raimi horror-ish. That's not wrong. Like there's actual moments of a director having a personality where I don't think we can say that about Homecoming.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, fuck, man. Spider-Man 2 is so fucking good. Yeah, and Raimi fucking rocks.
Used to. I think he's he should be killed now.
Oh, really? Why? What'd he do?
He did that Doctor Strange movie.
Oh, I see. I wasn't as mad at that movie. I mean, listen, it was like a nothing movie, but as far as it wasn't one of the more offensive Marvel movies, I thought. What do you call it? I keep talking about Thor. Thor was just a fucking pile of shit.
I wonder if I'll ever watch it in this life.
Pile of shit. It's irredeemable.
Can't imagine.
Awful, 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 awful movie. Doctor Strange didn't offend me in that way. But listen, movies are whack. If you're a critic, you got to kill yourself. That's my policy. If you profit off of harming other people's careers, you're a low life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, that's it. Maybe we'll do an AI overtime, or maybe we'll just record one tomorrow. Maybe we should like bank an episode since you're going to be away soon. But live show. We got a live show coming up. If you live in Brooklyn, you should go to that February 26th at the old St. Vitus there.
If it's not sold out, it will be soon. Jump on that.
Tickets are flying off the shelf whatever. Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. Go there. You understand. We have bonus episodes. If you didn't hear the AI bonus episode from last week, you're missing out. It's a career highlight for us, I think. Twitter.com @WP timeline on Twitter. We're on Instagram, worst possible timeline on Instagram. I don't really know. I don't really know what the function of it is yet.
Just do some clips, do some little tiny clips up there.
Tiny clips. 205-509-9785. Give us a call, leave us a message. I'm still trying to figure out how to get the messages. We'll get to it. worstpossibletimeline@gmail.com.
Here's a YouTube. 6 top crops to grow at home to save you from starving. Are we concerned about this?
Well, we didn't talk about it. Maybe this is what we talk about on overtime tomorrow, but the Wall Street Journal headline that said, if you want to save money, you should try skipping breakfast. Yo, they want you to die. They want you to have less so you can have more, and they want you to die so they can have what you have. That's what they want. Everybody, take it easy. I think there might still be shirts left. You should get those through and through merch.com.
Oh, yeah, please.
Go to the live show. Give us money on Patreon. Hit us up. There's so many ways to hit us up. Hit us up, and we will we'll see you soon.
Please. Goodbye.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.